What? First Corinthians, chapter 15, verse 20 and 21. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by one man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. The Apostle Paul makes a statement in the midst of a chapter that is purely dedicated to the resurrection from the dead. He says, but now is Christ risen from the dead. We know very well Christ was the Son of God and he was God.
Amen.
The apostle says, but now is Christ risen from the dead. We know Jesus Christ, as the Bible says, he came from heaven to this poor world to die for a people that God chose in him before the foundation of the world.
Right.
And now, the Apostle Paul writes, the Holy Spirit, God writes through the Apostle Paul, telling us that Christ is risen.
Right.
He rose from the dead. He never died out of an accident. Neither did he die because of sickness.
Amen.
He wasn't so old. He never died of old age.
That's right.
He died for a purpose. To save the people that God chose in him before the foundation of the world.
Amen.
Of all the religions that have ever existed in the face of the earth, there is only one religion that stands in the truth that its founder, who died and rose and is still alive.
Amen.
Right.
You go to the tomb of Muhammad, you find his body, it does not affect their religion at all.
Right.
Because he died and he never rose again.
Right.
You go to the tomb of Lenin Marxism, you find this body, it does not affect them at all.
That's right.
Because their founder died and he never rose again.
Right.
And you go to the tomb of Jesus Christ, you find his body in the grave, then Christianity collapses because our faith and belief is that our founder of Christianity, Jesus Christ, who is the living God, died and rose again.
Amen. Right, right.
And Jesus was not a man. He was God. He was God manifest in the human flesh.
Right.
And he left all his riches and came to this poor world to die for a people that God chose in him before the world began.
Amen. Right.
So the Apostle Paul is... the Holy Spirit is revealing to us that Jesus Christ was not a mere prophet. He was not a mere man. He was God manifest in the human flesh. And God chose a people from the fallen race of Adam. You remember the story of Adam? When God created him and put him in the Garden of Eden, he gave him a commandment of which he was to keep. But he broke God's law. And all of his generation, all of his posterity, died in Adam.
That's right.
And here the Apostle Paul is telling us, for since by man came death, by man also came the resurrection of the dead. Adam represented the whole human race. He was our representative. Like here in America, you may have an ambassador in our country, Kenya. He is representing the American interest in our country. And if something goes wrong, he messes up, or a relationship between him and the Kenyan government goes bad, then he affects the whole American country. That is how Adam was in the Garden of Eden. God created him and put him in the garden, gave him the commandment, and he broke, and all of his posterity died in him. For the Bible says that for the day he shall eat of the truth of the fruit, he shall surely die.
Right.
And we died in Adam. Sin came into the world through one man who was Adam, and sin brought death, and death passed upon all men.
Right.
And that's how we found ourselves sinning in Adam. When Adam sinned, we were not there. But because he was our representative, all of us sinned in him. And Jesus Christ, who is referred as the first fruit of them that slept, represents the elect family of God.
Yes, right.
The people that God chose because of his sovereign will, for his own purpose, to be in Jesus Christ. And in due time, he sent his son to die on the cross to save them from their sins.
Amen.
He never died for the whole human race. He died for a people that God chose from every nation, kindred, and tongue. And God choosing these people did not look at their good works, because of the corruption we found ourselves in. When Adam sinned, we all went astray and could not seek the things of the Spirit of God.
Right.
And Jesus came to this poor world to die for his people and save them from their sins. And he rose from the dead. That's what the Apostle Paul is telling us. And had it been that he never rose, then our preaching could be in vain.
That's right.
Our coming here to worship could be in vain.
Right.
If you had a son, and maybe you are old enough that you have no more energy to do some job within your home, and then you depend upon your son to help you on whatever that you want to do, and you find that this son is helpless, then you cannot depend upon your child or this son, because he cannot do something that you wanted him to do. But here, Jesus Christ rose from the dead, and we have victory in Jesus Christ because he rose from the dead.
Amen. Yeah.
All that was necessary for us to pay on the cross, he paid it all.
Amen. Amen.
The Bible says, when God chose a people to be his, his choosing was based on his love and nothing else.
That's right, that's right.
The Bible says he looked down from heaven to see if there is any who could do good. He found none.
That's right.
He chose a people because he loved them. Not because we loved him. It is because he loved them. Sometimes we try to love our loved ones, but our love cannot be equal to the love of God. The love of God is immeasurable. You can't measure the love of God. To send his only begotten son to die for his people. And he rose from the dead. That's what the Apostle Paul is telling us, that but now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. The Apostle Paul introduces a principle of the first fruit. You remember when the children of Israel were brought from the land of bondage, from Egypt, and delivered to the land of Canaan, God had required of them to bring forth the first fruits from the harvest. And if the Lord accepted the first fruit, then the lamb or the whole harvest was made to be holy.
Yes, that's right.
This Apostle Paul gives us this principle in the book of Romans, chapter 11, verse 6. Romans, turn with me to the book of Romans, chapter 11, verse 16. The Apostle Paul, in his letter to the Roman saints, in verse 11, chapter 16, he says, "For if the first fruit be holy, the lamb is also holy. And if the root be holy, so are the branches." He gives a reference to what the children of Israel were required to do whenever they could have an harvest. That if the first fruit be holy, then the whole lamb is holy.
Right.
Jesus Christ is the first fruit in the elect family of God.
Amen.
And his sacrifice that he gave on the cross was a perfect sacrifice. Mm-hmm. And the Lord accepted the sacrifice that he made on the cross.
Amen.
And we have been accepted unto the Lord because of the sacrifice that was done on the cross.
Amen.
And which the Lord
Amen.
Accepted.
Yes. Amen.
He is the first fruit of them that slept. We all died in Adam, and we all have life in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Because the Lord accepted the offering that was perfect, that was done on the cross. If you turn to, with me to the book of Ephesians chapter 1, the Apostle Paul starts writing the Ephesian saints, and he's trying to say who he was. He was an apostle of Jesus Christ, and not an apostle of men, meaning that he was never chosen by men to be an apostle. God chose him to be an apostle. So he says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, not by his own will. It is by the will of God that God chose him to be an apostle. And he's writing to the saints which are at Ephesus. He was not writing to everybody who was living by that time in Ephesus. He was addressing to those who already have been born of the Spirit of God. For the Bible says, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him.
Right.
Until the Lord deals with you in your heart, the things of the Spirit of God can never be of any help to your life.
Amen.
So the Apostle Paul is writing to the saints who are at Ephesus. And the saint is somebody who has been put aside. Somebody who has been given a new life.
Amen.
That is a spiritual life. He's telling them who he was, writing to them, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus, grace be to you, and the peace from God our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, whom hath blessed us with all the spiritual blessings in heavenly places, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. To the praise of His grace wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved. We have been accepted by God in Jesus Christ because of the perfect sacrifice He made on the cross. Amen. He is the first fruit among those that slept.
Yes, sir.
Out there you hear people preach saying that it's up to you to accept Jesus Christ. But the Bible does not teach us so.
Amen.
It teaches us that we have been accepted unto the Beloved. And who is the Beloved? It is Jesus Christ. You remember when He was baptized and coming out of water, a voice came from heaven and said, "This is my beloved Son, of whom I am pleased with." So Jesus is the beloved Son of God. And we have been accepted unto God because of the sacrifice that He made on the cross. He is the first fruit among them that slept. So the Apostle Paul was bringing this principle for us to be able to understand what he is trying to teach us here. In the book of Leviticus, from that principle we read in the book of Romans chapter 11, if you turn with me to the book of Leviticus chapter 23, we read the 23rd chapter of the book of Leviticus. Verse 9, the Bible records, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, When ye become into the land which I gave unto you, you shall reap the harvest thereof. Then ye shall bring a sheaf of the first fruits of your harvest unto the Lord. And he shall wave the sheaf before the Lord to be accepted for you on the morrow after the Sabbath, and the priest shall wave it." Here, the Bible, from the principle that the Apostle Paul trying to teach us on how Jesus is the first fruit among them that slept, he is giving us a reference of how the Lord required the children of Israel to do from their harvest. If this was a field of corn and there was one that was mature, they could take it and give it to the priest and raise it before the Lord. And if the Lord accepted the first fruit, the whole harvest was blessed.
Right.
And if the Lord rejected this first fruit, then the whole harvest was not blessed. It could not prosper. So this is the principle the Apostle Paul is sharing with us, telling us Jesus is the first fruit among them that slept. All the harvest or the lamb that was rejected by the Lord, if the first fruit was rejected, could suffer because of the first fruit. They had nothing to do with the first fruit. So Jesus, when he died on the cross, there is nothing that we did before the Lord so that we can be accepted unto him. It is because of the perfect sacrifice that he offered on the cross.
Amen.
Just as Adam died, broke God's law in the Garden of Eden, all of us sinned in him. We never participated. Same thing when Jesus gave his perfect sacrifice, and all that were chosen in him before the foundation of the world were accepted unto the Lord.
Amen.
And now he is risen.
Amen.
We have a hope in a risen Savior who gave us a promise that he is coming back again.
That's why.
And his coming, his second coming, he's coming to redeem all that he died for and take them home where we shall live forever and forever.
Amen.
When he died on the cross, he never saved us eternally to return our condition like that of Adam. But we were brought to a better condition whereby we got from the condition of being innocent. Adam was innocent in the first place, and when he sinned, he became corrupt. So all his posterity became corrupt and they could not seek after the things of God. So when Jesus died on the cross, he did not return our condition to that of Adam, but Amen. To a better condition of which we shall never sin Amen. And we shall be like Jesus.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
That's right.
We shall live forever and forever when he is coming back again.
Amen.
So our preaching, our worshiping the Lord, our laboring in the Lord is not in vain. For he is a risen Savior. And he died for our sins. A people that God chose in him from every tongue, kindred, and nation. Sometimes you find the Lord is people because they have a zeal of God but without knowledge, trying to make themselves righteous. But they keep on laboring, having a burden in their heart because whatever they try to do right, they cannot. And we pray for them that they might be saved from that condition.
Yes,
so that they can live rejoicing in the Lord and our Savior who died and paid for all that they were supposed to pay for. And the Lord preserves his people eternally. They can never lose their eternal salvation. For he says, my sheep hear my voice, I know them, they follow me, and I give them eternal life. And right. no man shall pluck them from my hand. You can imagine of any men like those we see on the movies who are very strong. They cannot snatch ourselves from the Lord's hand, for he is powerful. That is how the Lord preserves his saints to eternal, all of eternity. He is a powerful God. And he is a God that we worship today, for he is alive today. And he has given us his promise that he is coming back again. So we live with the hope that our Lord is coming back again, and we need to live a righteous life, praising and giving him honor for what he has done for us.
Amen.
What a wonderful Savior is Jesus Christ.
Amen.
He is the living one. And he is alive today, for he rose from the dead. And his death was not out of accident. He died for a reason that God sent him for a purpose and to do the will of the Father. To save those that the Father chose in him before the foundation of the world. And he has blessed us to see these truths. We are not better off than those who have not seen the truth. Only that it's a wonderful blessing that the Lord has blessed us with to be able to see these truths and rejoice in them.
Yes.
And we need to go out and try to share with others so that they can also see if it pleases the Lord. Sometimes the Lord hides the truth from others and reveals to some. And we don't know why.
Right.
And we don't need to ask.
Amen.
Amen.
We have a wonderful Savior. Who is our Lord Jesus Christ, manifest in the human flesh. And when he's coming like a king.
Yes.
Seated on the Amen. Throne. And all nations shall be gathered before him. All nations that ever existed and will exist by the time of his coming will gather before him. And he as a shepherd will separate the sheep from the goat from his sheep. The Bible says his sheep.
That's
He possesses a sheep, a people that God chose in him before the foundation of the world. Those are the people he died for, and he rose, and we died in Jesus Christ, and we rose in him. He's a wonderful Savior. So brothers and sisters, I would encourage you to keep on pressing on, praising a Savior who died for our sins, and he is alive today.
Amen.
He takes care of our needs.
That's right.
And we need to walk after the Spirit. We walk as he instructs us in his word, so that we can experience his blessings here and now.
Right.
For he is a wonderful Savior who died and rose again. In conclusion, knowing that our Savior is alive today, and he rose from the dead, and we labor in him, let's turn to our main text that we were in, the book of Corinthians, the first chapter of the book of Corinthians. If in this life only we have a hope in Christ Jesus, that's the 19th chapter, we are of all men most miserable. The Apostle Paul, sometimes we have so many things that keeps us worrying in our lives, but we have a hope in Jesus Christ, for he died for our sins, he rose again, he's coming back again, and as we live here and now, as we wait for his second coming, let's have a hope in him, and let's not be so miserable in serving the Lord. He's coming back again. And our labor in him should not be in vain.
That's right.
Labor in the Lord. Laboring in the Lord. Sometimes we have different types of labor in our secular lives, but the Bible is talking about laboring in the Lord in the 58th chapter, in the 58th verse of this chapter. Laboring in the Lord, that it should not be in vain. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast and immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Whenever we labor, we expect a profit. I know that all that we do behind our back, we don't think of getting a loss, but we expect a profit out of whatever that we do. So our labor in the Lord Jesus Christ, as much as you serve one another, you are serving the Lord.
Right.
And we need to serve the Lord with the humble heart and with the humility. For when he left all his riches, he showed us an example of how he could leave all his riches, humble himself, come down here to serve his people that God chose in him.
Mm-hmm.
It's an example
right.
that we also need to follow, to serve our neighbors, our
Amen.
Friends, ourselves, with humility, knowing that our labor is not in vain. And as much as you give, is the way as much as you get. The more you get, the more you give. The more you give, the more you get.
Amen. That's right.
So we need to serve the Lord with humility, bearing in mind that our labor is not in vain. And we should not labor with an intention that there is something we need to get from the Lord. We labor in the sense that we are giving thanks to the Savior who died for our sins and he rose again.
Amen.
He is coming back again. So, brothers and sisters, I want to encourage you tonight to keep on laboring in the Lord, keep on serving Him in any way that He may burden you. All of us, I know, have been gifted in one way or the other. You might be gifted to, or blessed to have a gift of giving advice to somebody who does not know what to do. You might be blessed to be a comfort to somebody who is grieving. That's a blessing. That's a labor in the Lord.
Yes.
And in any way, we serve the Lord in humility and with a humble heart. May God bless you for your good attention.
Amen.